Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the federal government pledges to invest every dollar it earns from the Trans Mountain expansion into clean energy.
Additional corporate tax revenue alone could be around $500 million per year. Once the project is up and running, we will invest this money, as well as any profits from the sale of the pipeline, in the clean energy projects that will power our homes, businesses, and communities for generations to come.
The opposition says the Trans Mountain decision gets us no closer to having the project complete.
Today's cabinet decision gets us really no closer to having this vital job-creating project than we were when it was first approved 2.5 years ago.
And what will be included in Andrew Scheer's environment plan?
You know, the video which Andrew Scheer put out last week suggested that there is something here they're quite excited about, rather than something that they want to bury.
It's Wednesday, June 19th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by National Post columnist John Iveson. Good morning, John.
Morning, Mark.
I don't think anybody was surprised by the Trans Mountain expansion announcement from the federal government yesterday, but what do you think it means, both practically and politically?
Well, it means it's still alive. I mean, that's the main thing. It's still going forward. It doesn't mean that it's a done deal. Obviously, there are legal challenges pending. The government admitted as much yesterday. But it does allow shovels to go back in the ground. The Prime Minister suggested that might happen in this construction seat. Again, there's going to be, I think, inevitably going to be direct action by pipeline opponents. We saw various groups coming out saying the thing will never be built, no matter what approval we get. But it's still going forward. So this grand bargain of the carbon tax and the pipeline is still alive, which, given the number of setbacks it's had over the years, is kind of remarkable, really.
And what do you think that means for the Prime Minister in the context of the election? This is a decision where no matter what, you're bound to alienate some people, and that's the challenge of being in government, is that with every decision you make, you're going to have some people who are disappointed by it, to say the least in this case. Does it cost him in some places, this outcome?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this strategy of being all things to all people, you know, you're in favour of taking action on climate change, but you're also in favour of building a pipeline. I mean, the government introduced a motion on there being a climate emergency just 24 hours before giving the green light to Trans Mountain. So obviously that upsets various people. You know, they try to mitigate that by saying, well, we're going to sell this thing eventually and more than likely to groups with large indigenous shareholding components. They also said they're going to reinvest all the revenues from it, all the profits from it, and potentially the sale price too, for green energy measures. So, you know, there are attempts to appease some of those people who will be upset. I mean, I guess that they hope that there are enough people in the middle of the political spectrum who are in favour of the environment, taking action on the environment, but also in favour of growing the economy, that they can straddle this fence successfully. I mean, it seemed like it was a great idea when the government came in. They had sort of pliable governments in every provincial capital that were on site. The opinion polls suggested that there was majority support for this plan in every province. But, you know, there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. When central planners come out with these ideas, they assume, I guess, everything is going to go smoothly, and nothing has gone smoothly. I mean, we saw with the British Columbia elected a new democratic government propped up by the Greens that was in opposition to this pipeline. Then Kinder Morgan decided the thing was too tough, it was going to get out and sell the thing, and the government was forced to buy it just to keep this plan together. Because if the pipeline didn't go ahead, then Alberta wasn't going to be part of the climate plan. And then we saw the Federal Court of Appeal stepping in, quashing the construction permits. That sparked Alberta NDP Premier Rachel Notley to pull out of the agreement, swiftly followed Manitoba. I mean, this thing has taken a number of body blows along the way. So the fact that it's you know, the bandwagon is still going down the road, even if it's only on three wheels now, is for Trudeau is a triumph. I think most other people, most other leaders would have adapted their plan, but that's not him. He gets a plan, he just drives forward with it, and I think that's one of his strengths and one of his weaknesses.
Yeah, and I suppose the other calculation may be that the Liberals figure that if there are people who aren't happy with this decision, that they may blame the Liberals for it, but where are they going to go, right? I think there is the question of whether it's sufficient number of them are going to go to some other party that it's going to hurt the Liberals in the next election.
Well, I think we are seeing that. I mean, we're seeing the rise of the Green Party. They're now in double digits. I think that in British Columbia in particular, the Greens are a real threat to the Liberals, and that it's no coincidence that the Liberals came out with this single-use plastic ban earlier this month. I mean, I think that was a direct response to polling that was showing them the Greens were becoming a threat to them in BC.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, the next step in what is shaping up to be a very interesting week in Canadian politics, the final week of this session of Parliament, is Andrew Scheer today announcing at long last his plan for the environment and his alternative to the carbon tax that he's been arguing against for so long. What do you expect to see in Andrew Scheer's environment plan, and how will it shape the issue going forward? Because this election ultimately could end up being a choice between that path or the one the Liberals are on.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, that's democracy at work. You have different competing ideas. The initial idea, I think, in the Conservative ranks was this was a typical shield issue that they would essentially just try and match the Liberal Party. Even if they didn't use a carbon tax, they would just bring in regulations that met the same targets. And they would do essentially what Stephen Harper did on health with the Liberal Party in the early years of his government, essentially mirroring what the Liberal Party was doing. I think they've changed tack a little bit. I think they've seen themselves, there's an opportunity here for them. You know, the video which Andrew Scheer put out last week suggested that there is something here they're quite excited about, rather than something that they want to bury. There are reports this morning they're going to reaffirm the Paris targets, which I think was in doubt. I mean, early versions of this, of Scheer's plan, talked about moving away from the Paris targets. So I think that has evolved as well, if he does reaffirm those targets. But I think the way that he is going to get to them is dubious. If this is how it pans out, and this is how I expect it to pan out, because this was in the earlier version of the speech, is that they will take action to displace dirtier forms of energy overseas. Let's say, for example, in China, they sell liquefied natural gas to China and it displaces coal as a means of generating electricity, then those credits will apply to Canada. The problem with that is that is not a thing. There is no accounting mechanism that's internationally recognized that would credit those emissions gains to Canada.
Right.
I mean, at the moment, all countries that have signed on to the UN plan are responsible for emissions in their geographic territory, not somewhere else. Now, Scheer has hinted at this numerous occasions, of talking about a plan to reduce global emissions. And, you know, this is fraught with difficulty, because if you start claiming credit for your exports, then surely you have to put your imports on the other side of the ledger. You know, let's see how it pans out. But at the moment, I think they're going to try and essentially pull the wool over Canadians' eyes. I mean, it starts getting complicated, and it sounds like you're doing something. And most Canadians, and certainly most Conservatives I've spoken to, say, "Well, Canada's too small to make a real impact on the global picture. Other countries aren't doing their share. If we are going to do anything, then China and India and other countries have to do their share too." That resonates with people. I think that's what they're going to try and do. And ultimately, it does not wash.
All right. Finally, Justin Trudeau leaves later today for Washington. I know you'll be going on that trip as well. He'll be meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump. tomorrow. What do you expect to come from that meeting? And we know trade will be on the agenda, obviously. Will China as well? Will the detention of a Huawei executive and the detention of Canadians in response to that, will that be something that Justin Trudeau talks about with Donald Trump?
I think that's what Trudeau is going for. Apparently, this meeting was at the behest of Trump, and in advance of the G20 meeting that's coming up. It would not surprise me if Trump wants Trudeau's help to try to persuade Democrats to come on board with this trade deal, the new North American free trade deal. Trump is having problems in Congress, not helped by the fact that he called Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi Crazy Nancy and said that Democratic delays in Congress were in part because she couldn't understand the deal. You know, none of that helps. But I saw Robert Lighthizer, the Trade Commissioner, U.S. Trade Commissioner, was in front of Congress this week, and he was trying to smooth the road to this thing passing before Congress breaks for the summer in August. When Mike Pence was in Ottawa earlier this month, I think, Trudeau made a plea to Democrats to say, look, this deal is better than what preceded it, and it's progressive. We ensured that it was progressive. I think that if he were to say that in Washington, it would have more resonance than anything Trump says and might help this thing down the road a little bit.
All right. Have a safe trip, John. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay, Mark. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That's John Iveson of the National Post.
I am announcing that our government has newly approved the Trans Mountain Expansion Project going forward. The company plans to have shovels in the ground this construction season.
Now let's take a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Globe and Mail, Ed Whittingham argues the federal government's decision on the Trans Mountain Pipeline is the right one for Canada. Whittingham writes, "A pipeline is no panacea for all that ails the oil and gas industry, but it will definitely strengthen balance sheets. It gives us options, whereas when our economic backs are pinned up against the wall, we have few. Understanding this, the federal government also committed to reinvesting the proceeds of the operation and eventual sale of the pipeline into clean energy transition. This will help." In the National Post, Elmira Ali Akbari and Ashley Stedman argue the Trans Mountain approval is welcome news, but it's far from a cure-all. They write, "Other serious issues plague the energy sector, which is still dealing with onerous and uncompetitive policies stifling investment. With the Trans Mountain approval, one weight has lifted after years of missteps by Ottawa and several provincial governments. While a positive move, it alone is not enough to restore investor confidence in our energy sector." In Maclean's, Paul Wells looks ahead to Andrew Scheer's climate plan. Wells writes, "Today will be a tricky day for the Conservative leader. At best, he can fight any debate on climate change to a public opinion draw. As a general rule, feelings about climate change are a problem for the Conservatives, although specific measures designed to slow its pace can be way less popular than the general sentiment." And in an editorial, the Toronto Star argues, the Liberals are wrong to duck a handgun ban. The Star writes, "We've been debating this for decades and getting nowhere, even as the bodies continue to pile up. Fobbing the issue off on cities that don't have the necessary power isn't good enough. And yes, as critics are always quick to point out, a ban on legal handguns does not get rid of the illegal ones, but it does reduce the overall number of guns that can fall into the wrong hands. A measure doesn't have to do everything to be worth doing." Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. Finance Minister Bill Morneau is in Calgary today, giving a breakfast speech to a business audience, and as CPAC's Martin Stringer explains, the topic and location are hardly a coincidence.
Mark, Bill Morneau is giving a speech on the importance of the energy sector and the new economy in creating jobs for the middle class. But of course, he's above all in Calgary to sell the government's decision to go ahead with the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Now that's not a difficult sell in the oil patch, but as Alberta Premier Jason Kenney and Conservative leader Andrew Scheer both stressed in their response to Ottawa's approval of the pipeline yesterday, the big challenge now will be getting the pipeline construction underway and persuading Westerners and those in the resource sector that the delays in the approval and the loss of jobs have been unavoidable. Meanwhile, on the West Coast, the opposition to the pipeline expansion shows no sign of abating. So it's all part of a difficult political sales job as Parliament is in its last days in Ottawa and we prepare for this fall's election.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will attend the Liberal caucus meeting and question period before leaving for Washington. In Chelsea, Quebec, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will unveil the details of his party's environmental platform. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will speak to participants at a symposium in Ottawa, marking the 100th anniversary of the Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada. Official Languages Minister Melanie Joly will make an announcement in Ottawa. In Halifax, Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez will co-host the 2019 Meeting of Ministers Responsible for Culture and Heritage. Transport Minister Marc Garneau will make an announcement in Cap-aux-Mules and in Sept-Îles, Quebec. And Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will make an announcement in Deschambault, Quebec. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Wednesday, June 19th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.